Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with you for a special episode of the podcast. Today we're talking about a brand new show that is going to have a premiere event coming up on Tuesday night over on NBC before you can catch it weekly over on the USA Network. It's called Snake in the Grass, a social strategy game where four, sometimes five people will be competing. One of them is trying to sabotage the other players, and they have a big premiere event as some people that you may know from some other reality TV shows are going to be competing, that we will see some of our favorite survivors back to play in this game. We have, in order of first appearance, from Survivor Cook Islands and Survivor Winners at War, Yul Kwon. We have from Survivor Fiji, Earl Cole. We have from Survivor Philippines, from Survivor Karamoan and Survivor Game Changers, Mr. Survivor, Malcolm Freeberg. And then also, we will also have from Naked and Afraid, Jeff Zausch is also going to be competing with the guys. And we're going to hear from all of them here on this episode of the podcast. So be ready for a very fun interview. We had about 20 minutes with the guys. And so you're going to hear that panel. I'm going to post it also as well on our YouTube channel. Earl is calling in on the phone. So no visual there for Earl, but I hope you enjoy this interview. I'll have a recap coming up of the first episode next week as well. And so make sure you are subscribed to Rob as a Podcast so you don't miss any of that. Go to robasawebsite.com/subscribe. Let's go ahead and bring in my interview with the first contestants to ever play the new show, Snake in the Grass. All right, I'm very excited to be here with the first group of four people that are going to be competing in Snake in the Grass, coming to NBC this Tuesday night. Of course, here with us on the Zoom, we have some reality TV royalty. We have with us, I see here first, Malcolm Freeberg is here. Malcolm, how are you?
Doing good. It's been a minute since we talked. This is going to be fun.
Yes. Very excited to see you as one of the people in Snake in the Grass. Joining us by phone, the winner of Survivor Fiji, Earl Cole is here. Earl, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Okay. We have still trying to connect to the Zoom. The winner of Survivor Cook Islands, Yul Kwon. We'll hear from him momentarily. And joining us from the world of Naked and Afraid, it's Jeff Zausch. Jeff, how are you?
What's up, Rob? What's up? I'm good. I'm neither naked nor afraid today.
Yes,
You're welcome.
Yes. Jeff, I have recently caught up on Naked and Afraid XL season 4, so I am well versed in what is going on over there.
Okay. Well, good. No, we have a good time out there. I was pleasantly excited to do this Snake in the Grass. You know, when they told me I get boots and clothes and I can even wear a cowboy hat, I was all in at that point.
Okay. And we have also here with us connected. Yul Kwon. Yul, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Great to be here. Sorry I was a little bit slow getting online, but yeah, great to see you. And great to see the other guys. I hate you all.
Great to see you all. We're here with the cast of the first episode of the new show, Snake in the Grass, where we're going to see four, maybe five people at times competing out in the jungle, with trying to accomplish missions, somebody is going to be some sort of a saboteur. And it is up for the other people to figure out exactly how this is all going to work out. And of course, the premiere of the show is coming up on Tuesday night. I've seen the first like 20 minutes or so to get a sense of how the show is going to go. And here we are now with the first four players, Yule, Earl, Malcolm, and Jeff. Can I ask, Yule, any thoughts on why Snake in the Grass?
You mean like, why are we doing this?
Yeah. How'd they get you to, then, cause, you're a very accomplished person. What was it about Snake in the Grass that appealed to you to come out?
I thought it was cool. Like, you know, it's like a combination of, Mafia. I don't know if people have played Mafia and mm-hmm. a different version of that and Survivor. And so I always really liked those psychological games where you're trying to like, you know, there's a lot of like potential game theory or trying to like figure out who's actually not telling the truth. It's kind of like Survivor, but like on a different level. And there was a part of it that I felt like was just super interesting and really appealing.
Yeah. Earl, what's different about Snake in the Grass than Survivor for you?
Well, it's very, very different. I had no idea. Unlike Yule, I had no idea what I was getting into. All I was told, like, there's an adventure show. You're going to love it. That was the description. That's all I had. And I just ended up doing it, not knowing the rules, not knowing anything about it. Kind of like what I did with Survivor the first time.
Yes.
But it was definitely a great experience, a whole lot of fun, very adventurous. You know, these guys are fantastic. It was so much fun, you know, great memories, great bonding. So I loved it. And the adventure of it all was just, you know, super cool. Something to do because it's been so long since I did Survivor. I mean, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
So it's time to update it for my kids.
Can you guys explain a little bit about how the show works? Like, I understand that you are on missions and that there is a one person that is working against the other three, and that at the end, you'll have to make a determination of who is trying to sabotage the mission. But when you are going on like the missions across the episodes, like, are you winning money for accomplishing the missions, or are you getting more clues?
Clues.
So definitely
yeah,
clues.
We're getting clues. Yeah. Clues. So yeah. If we
in,
win
in
at,
hope of getting the money.
Yes.
Right, right. So for every right, challenge we win, we get an additional clue as to who the snake could be. So the snake is wanting to sabotage all of those challenges to prevent those clues from being released. And then everyone else is obviously trying to win those challenges. But the snake, he can't sabotage in a too obvious manner. Otherwise, he gives himself up and game over. So it's a delicate balance.
It's definitely about information gathering. You know, you keep on winning challenges, doing as much as you can to get more information that might lead you to who the snake might be. So that snake does not want you to know anything at all until, you know, the closer they get to the end, the better for them if you have limited information. So it's really tough, really tough, but fun.
And I'll tell you, it makes it like Rob's obviously run Survivor challenges. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about somebody throwing a wrench in the works on purpose more often than not. But all of us were side-eyeing each other the entire time. Running mission challenges, whatever. You're watching each other constantly during these challenges, like to see who's might be intentionally dragging or intentionally trying to throw the team off.
Yule, how did the accommodations compare to being on Survivor?
The accommodations were quite a bit better. We didn't have to like actually make a shelter. We didn't have to go out to. on a nice swim to go number two in the bathroom. We actually had food. I think for Jeff, it was probably the biggest upgrade in terms of the experience. Like it was funny because when I first saw these guys, I was like, okay, I immediately recognized Malcolm. I immediately recognized Earl. I see this person and I'm like, wait, that guy looks super familiar. And I realized at some point it was Jeff from Naked and Afraid, which I've seen him before, but I just didn't recognize him with his clothes on. It was kind of, and then it's funny because when we're sleeping overnight, Jeff was like, what? I get this hammock. Like, this is like the best experience I've ever had. So yeah, it was definitely better than Survivor and way, way better than Naked and Afraid. Yeah,
Jeff, was this intimidating for you to come in and go into this competition against the three Survivor players?
Well, of course it was. But that's why I took on this challenge. So obviously Naked and Afraid, I've done 6 challenges, you know, survived everywhere all over the world. So I knew the jungle part of this challenge. I got that. That's my bread and butter. But it was going to be the social game that was going to decide whether or not I won or lost this thing. And I'm going against 3 masters of, you know, the social survival survivor game. So I felt like I was coming in as, you know, the underdog of the whole thing.
Now, Jeff, did you feel like that any of these 3 guys have what it takes to make the transition to go to Naked and Afraid XL after this?
Yeah, that actually was just a funny question for all of us. You know, you realize how much easier, you know, Survivor is. You know, Survivor's hard. It definitely has, you know, the elements. But what Jeff was doing on Naked and Afraid, like, that's a whole different, it's like Olympic level stuff compared to what we did on Survivor. But we did have the social part that he didn't have to deal with. Yeah. Different prize money. Yeah. It's crazy. For what Jeff and those guys doing Naked and Afraid, they should be winning $1 million.
I've got it. I've got to tell you an anecdote. We gave Jeff the hammock that we had. We sleep one night at camp for this game. We gave Jeff the hammock. Yul, Earl, and I have sleeping bags and have been well fed for the first time. And we're all laying down. We're all getting comfy under this pre-built shelter for us. And all of us were grumbling the entire time.
Yeah. This completely complaining.
We were just the whiniest old men possible.
Yeah. This is like a vacation for Jeff.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Yul, could you tell us a little bit more about how the game works?
Yeah, basically, you know, there are 4 of us, like, we're kind of put on an island, or not an island, on a beach. You know, one of us had been designated as a snake. And, you know, over the course of a series of challenges, you're trying to win the challenge using a combination of teamwork. And if you win the challenge, you get a clue as to the identity of the snake. But of course, the snake is trying to sabotage the challenge without being discovered because the snake doesn't want to be discovered. So it leads to a really interesting dynamic, right? Because you're hyper-vigilant, you're watching each other, you're trying to do these things, and you're trying to like see, okay, who's like, you know, really not pulling their weight. And in some cases, you know, people may or may not have gotten sick. And you're trying to figure out, like, are they just like bullshitting you? Mm-hmm. Are they really sick?
Because there's another element to this where it's not just sabotaging the actual challenges, but it's actually the distraction and the deflection that they have to do, the lying. So let's talk about the biggest part of it. Like, you really have to distract by misleading everyone on what you say about yourself, who you are, all of those things. Even if we got all the clues right, it doesn't mean that we're going to know who the snake is, because they might have told us a completely different story on who they really are. So that's what makes it really tough.
To that point, Rob, all of the misleading. If you've seen, it's not just a factoid,
right?
You get it. It's a little obscure and it can be interpreted in different ways. So we're all looking, we're working through, and we're talking about a lot of very smart guys. Like 3 of us at least, Jeff maybe a little bit, and we're all really working. We're all really working through it, like really trying, like think of all the different ways that this turn of phrase could be. You know, is it very direct, or is it, you know, is there room for interpretation in this line of each clue?
Yeah, the clues are riddles. They're actually riddles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that from the first episode, and they're worded in like interesting ways that could have multiple meanings, which really get everybody talking. Are there any things that any of the survivors picked up from their Survivor playing time that are useful skills for a game like Snake in the Grass?
Good question. I would say, maybe trying to read people a little bit. You have to do that a lot on Survivor. I mean, the paranoia is all the same. It's a very different type of game. It's just different. I mean, you're under the clock. You're under the gun the whole time. And so you are saying and doing whatever is possible to just survive through the 36 hours of how this is going to be. So I don't know, guys. What do you think? Do you think what part of Survivor you think, you know, the skill set you might have used in this kind of game?
I think the challenges were pretty similar. So I think it seemed like Nick and Afraid, you're not doing these kind of challenges where you're trying to solve puzzles or navigate things together. So I thought that was easier. The other thing I think was helpful was, on Survivor, you're always trying to suss people out. You're trying to assess them. Are they really telling the truth? Are they portraying themselves as differently than how they really are? And so I think there's a lot of that involved. And there is more deception where you're intentionally trying to mislead people or trying to portray yourself differently than what your true intentions might otherwise be. I'm guessing on Naked and Afraid, you don't have a lot of that. You're just basically trying to like work together. So I think, without revealing anything, whoever's job it is to be the snake probably had, if they had Survivor experience, would have had maybe more relevant experiences, because again, you're trying to mislead. You're trying to like shade the truth in a certain way and trying to like, and the other thing I think was relevant is, in a way, you're kind of building alliances too, right? Based on who you think is aligned with your interest or not, you're trying to get people to believe you and trust you. And so there's a lot of that happens on Survivor. We're trying to build empathy and build trust so that you have more credibility. And I think that works whether you're not the snake or you are the snake, because either way, you want people to believe you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that time limit is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because on Survivor, we have all day to talk to each other and figure things out. Like, you're literally around them 24/7. We have very, very limited time to talk about anything.
Yeah, that made it hard, because in addition to the challenges, we're constantly trying to get clues just by the conversations we're having with each other, right? And so we're talking to each other. But whereas on Survivor, you have a lot more time to really get to know people and potentially catch them in any inconsistencies or any kind of lies they might be telling. Like here, it's because such a compressed time, you don't have that much, just opportunity to engage. It made that part of a little bit harder.
And I'll add one thing before we move on. I got backwards in my head as we were trying to think about the voting system for this game.
Yeah. Can you explain that?
So the idea behind the game is that the three people who are not the snake have to all unanimously agree on who is the snake in order to win. And then they split the prize pool. If it's not unanimous, then the snake wins the whole thing. Or if the snake's misidentified, then the snake wins the whole thing. But what was going in my head, I'm sitting there with Yule and Earl and Jeff on the beach, maybe 12 hours before we had to decide who our vote for the snake would be. And I kept reverting to Survivor voting rules in my head. That might have just been me, but I was like, how do I make sure? Like, it was like everyone was like,
oh, so if it's 2-2, it'll go to fire. And then you have to make a fire against the snake. Right.
It was trying to keep the rules straight across games was a struggle.
Yeah. I agree 100% with that. So you definitely, the experience of Survivor definitely starts to overshadow parts of how you play this game. We just can't help it. That was my first introduction to being on TV in this kind of situation. So here I am doing something else again on TV in a jungle situation again. And you want to use your Survivor skills and your Survivor rules, but they're just completely different. But like Malcolm said, you can't help it. You can't help but like go through the system of Survivor for this game.
For sure. Did any of you do anything interesting to prepare for going out to be on Snake in the Grass?
I was on a 2-week vacation in Hawaii right before I got on the Snake in the Grass. That's how I prepared.
Yes.
Like literally I flew from Hawaii to Costa Rica. How about you guys?
I was recovering from malaria from my most recent Naked and Afraid in the Amazon. I had just gotten out of the hospital a few weeks earlier. So I got out of the hospital basically,
I have a friend that
tried
happened
to run
too.
A couple miles and
Jeff, are you on another Naked and Afraid? Where are you? Like, is that a real background?
That's his house, Yule.
This is my house. So I'm in Idaho, really? But I'm mentally at the beach right now with you guys.
Do you have palm trees or what is that in Idaho? You're kidding.
This is palm trees in Idaho. Yeah.
There are no, there's a palm tree in Idaho. Come on.
It's funny we're doing this during an interview because we're not really on speaking terms. Just kidding.
a bunch of assholes.
Those are all jerks. I was trying to figure out, I thought maybe it might be something like The Mole. Like, remember that kind of show a long time ago with Anderson Cooper? So I was half expecting, instead of Bobby Bones jumping out, you see, Anderson Cooper, coming out here and basically interrogating us. So I watched the first two episodes of that, or two seasons of that. And then beyond that, I was just, I mean, I had such short notice, like I was pretty out of shape and it just, yeah, I remember I went to a trainer and I'm like, hey, look, I have a week. Can you get me in shape? Like, I can't get you in shape. I can probably get you to not throw up the first time you try to run, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, listen to Yule talking about that. Like, here I am sipping on Mai Tais, laying on the beach and all this. And he's talking about, yeah, you know, I watched 2 episodes of The Mole and I did this and I did that 1 week of training. Dude, I had a margarita in my hand on poolside.
Okay.
I brought the quarantine physique to the beach. I just did not. It wasn't good from a physical standpoint, but we did have a sense that it was going to be a little bit like The Mole. So I was binge watching The Mole beforehand.
Okay.
So you guys are lucky. I did not know that. I did not have that information.
The Mole wasn't super helpful. The actual game was not but no, I mean, you were doing a lot of ab workouts, right? I mean, you were basically trying to get your core toned by just like throwing up.
Malcolm. Yeah, well,
if you're drinking up beer, you can really expand that core. I was increasing torque potential before.
Well, you were just like throwing up all the time as well, and I thought that was like
crunches. Yeah, for sure. All right. That if you want to hear more from these guys, okay, of course you could watch the premiere of Snake in the Grass coming up on Tuesday night. Snake in the Grass premieres on USA on Monday night, August 1st at 11 p.m. That's right after Monday Night Raw, one of my favorites. So be sure to see four more gladiators competing on Monday nights over on USA. Guys, thank you so much for coming on and talking a little bit about what's going on Snake in the Grass. Really looking forward to seeing how it all plays out and seeing who the actual snake is here with this four. Great talking to you all.
So much,
okay,
Rob.
Best of luck with the show.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That's the first four people that we're going to see playing on Snake in the Grass this Tuesday night. Then there will be another episode of Snake in the Grass coming up on Monday night with four different players than the episode with the male reality stars is going to air then on USA in a couple of weeks. And then there will be also a special episode with women reality stars coming up later on in August. So a little confusing, but I think we've got it all figured out. So Tuesday night is when you'll go on NBC at 10 p.m. to check out the guys we just talked to today. I'm really like in my head about trying to figure out, you got three survivors and one naked and afraid guy. And I'm like, well, they can't possibly make the naked and afraid guy the snake in the grass. Like, or can they? I don't know. We'll have to tune in and see how it all plays out. We'll have a podcast recap of it for you coming up as well next week. Thank you for joining us for some special coverage here, talking about the premiere of Snake in the Grass. Really appreciate NBC Universal helping us out, talking with the four players in this exit interview or this entrance interview today. And so thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to everything we're doing here on Rob's podcast at robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.